Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Welcome to All About Android, episode 66, recorded on Tuesday. Was this a bad word? Like a different language?
Or
a
yeah, different it feels country? Weird, doesn't it? Yeah.
Okay, sorry. July 3rd, 2012 is your weekly source for all the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm really sorry if I offended you just right now with that sign.
I don't think you did. I think you're okay. I'm Jason Howell.
I'm the unoffensive Ron Richards.
Oh, right, I'm Eileen. Yeah, I forgot to introduce myself. And today...
It's been a while since you've done the intro.
It's been so weird.
Wow, Google I.O. kicked our butts.
It really kicked my butt. We're also going to welcome Jason Applebaum.
Thank you.
Who has been on the show many times, who was in that famous photo when the jelly bean statue was erected.
Arms crossed very majestically staring at the jelly bean being erected.
Why were you there?
That's magic.
He just shows up. It's like...
It's random.
totally random. Okay, yes. Google I.O. kicked our butt. So that's what we're going to be talking about at the top of the show. Everything that you wanted to hear about what we experienced, because we went there. All four of us were there, and we're all in house. This is so exciting. So Jelly Bean, Nexus 7, Nexus Q, the keynote, skydiving, sky jumping, whatever the heck.
The insanity of the keynote,
which... Honestly, saved that freaking keynote at that point
Except
in time.
Except then they just ruined it the next day.
Oh, right. I didn't get to go the second day, but I can't wait to hear from you guys. And then there's some patent news, some very important patent news. And, of course, we have an awesome arena of lots of different apps. So...
I've been so excited for this. I mean, after last week, I mean, literally, I left on Thursday. I left I.O. so, like, energized.
Well,
I'm like, I
want to
record right now.
And you went to that big Sony party.
I did go to the big Sony party, yes.
There were a lot of
viewers in the crowd at Sony, and a lot of people, a lot of photos taken with people.
Well, that was really your cool element. Not only being at Google I.O., but that was Google TV element.
And I tweeted this, and the greatest thing about both Google I.O. and the Sony party was that if you want to take your picture of somebody, you can hand your phone and not have to show them how to use the camera.
Yeah, that's true, right?
I almost got you to spit your coffee.
Coffee,
it was a great time. It was great to see so many loyal All About Android viewers, and it was
We met a few.
It was cool.
I'm going to get something out in just a minute. So let us go to our news.
Okay, then. Sounds good. Hey, so Jelly Bean was. Let me just back up here and just say. I've been excited about... Oh.
This is what I meant to get
wow.
at. Wow. Just
See,
in
I didn't
time.
Even get that.
I didn't get one of those either.
You know what? I want to thank John from Australia, who was talking to me about... there you go.
I mean, I got one, too.
Anyway, he is a developer and...
Wait.
Actually singled me out and gave this to me on the show floor the first day. I guess these were out... In the main dining hall?
Yeah, they were just in the middle of the lunch tables.
Whoever got them, and he saved me one, so thank you so much. Oh, it was
literally crap to take home everywhere. There were plushies, there were things like
that's
that, there
jelly
were crane devices where you could get freebies out. It was insane.
Do you like some jelly
There was
beans?
So much free stuff.
I'm going to pass out jelly beans to all my friends here.
And I didn't get anything, except for the electronics.
Chad, I'll throw you some, okay?
Oh, just the electronics?
Just the electronics, yeah.
So, okay, so... I you know, at this point, it's crazy because I.O. was such a big part of last week. It feels like eternity ago because all weekend I've been playing with Jelly Bean, which was obviously a huge part of I.O. But taking a step back a little bit, Google actually just released their latest Android distribution report, as they do, I think, every month. Gingerbread is at 64%, Froyo at 17.3%, Ice Cream Sandwich 11%. So Ice Cream Sandwich still in third place. Jelly Bean, which was just announced, obviously didn't make that report. Next month, we should see some interesting figures and, you know, hear the cries from people saying, oh, no, another, you know, iteration of Android to fragment the landscape a little bit. But... I will just go ahead and say right now, Jelly Bean has excited me more than any other iteration of Android to date.
Really?
Ice Cream Sandwich was
more than Ice Cream Sandwich.
Ice Cream Sandwich was a big deal.
Yeah,
but Jelly Bean
was a big
makes
deal three
it
months
so
ago.
Cohesive.
Yeah, true.
Jelly Bean does so much on the back end to make it so much more enjoyable.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, I also think maybe we had a lot of ice cream sandwich kind of not spoiled for us, but we knew it was a big thing, like we prepared for it. Whereas Jelly Bean just kind of it dropped on us, and it was. And I've been saying it's not a big update, but it's an effective update.
They did exactly what they needed to do to take everything that they promised with ice cream sandwich and all of the UI enhancements and everything, and really just make it a solid, buttery smooth.
They gave ice cream sandwich its candy coating.
So
I need another jelly bean.
I think let's do this kind of like around the horn, because I think we've all kind of had some time to play around with jelly bean and spend some time with it. What are some of your favorite kind of features of jelly bean? Start with you, Jason.
My favorite feature of jelly bean. That's really hard. I have lots of favorite features.
Yeah, it's hard. Pick a couple.
Butter is awesome. I think butter, the back and forth, just sort of butteriness of butter. No real pun intended there. I think it was much needed. And more importantly, I think it sort of pushed Android into sort of not just for developers anymore, because now you can show this to anybody and it's not an appreciable, well, it's 13% faster. No, it's noticeably smoother. And it's done so well that it is, you almost don't notice it, but at the same time you do. And it just sort of, after a while, you go back to using an ice cream sandwich device, you're like, wow, this is broken.
It's different. Yeah, it's markedly different when you go back and use ice cream sandwich. Project Butter, for those who don't know, was essentially kind of back-end changes that do a lot to kind of smoothen, if that's a word.
Triple frame buffering.
It does a lot of stuff that I don't necessarily understand completely, but it's like syncing the frames of how you use your device, so animations are more fluid. It kind of locks that sync so that you catch the animation. It doesn't skip frames. And, you know, I think for a long time people have kind of complained that Android just has a very rigid feel to it when you're using it, and that iOS in particular is very fluid when you're kind of, pinching to zoom or going from one screen to another. This is kind of Google's effort with Android to help kind of mend that and make it more smooth, and it totally works. It's a total improvement.
Absolutely. And on the whole smoothness and butteriness, they've changed the text to speech voice.
Yeah,
it now sounds incredible.
Yeah. Jason Applebaum has been talking about the voice all the way up from San Francisco to Petaluma today.
Awesome. It doesn't sound as beleaguered.
It sounds like a person.
Yeah. I felt like you wanted
that person
to date the voice.
Yeah, a little bit. It's a good voice. Like it just seems like somebody's talking to you,
and you don't believe.
Anyway, I won't sit here and list everything. I'll be quiet.
Well,
now.
But yes, and I mean that's a big part of.
I like everything.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's hard to pick out a few things because there are so many things going on here. Obviously, Google Now is a big one.
Google Now
is essentially, I guess, just to put it very briefly, it's their answer to Siri, well, which is what everybody's saying.
That was my aha moment a couple of nights ago, and I was like,
Siri.
Because I was trying to describe it to somebody, and what I think is interesting, and also, in my defense, I don't have an iPhone. All I know of Siri is everyone making fun of it on Twitter. And,
never use Siri.
And the back of my Entertainment Weeklies with the ads. Mm-hmm. That's all I know. And so I happened to be looking at Entertainment Weekly, and then I was explaining it to somebody. And then I was like, oh, I think this is kind of what Siri is supposed to be doing, but in a different kind of way. And honestly, I love Google Now. I love the card-based interface.
Yeah.
I love how smart it is. It literally I just opened up the tablet and I finally got the, hey, do you live here? And it was my house. Yeah. And I was like, yes, when I first opened up Google Now, and for people who, I'm sure everybody watching saw the announcements, but just to describe it, it's a new app that runs and it's basically giving personalized data for you that you commonly use.
Yep.
So, for example, when I opened it the first time, and you open it by swiping up from the bottom, and the first time I opened it, there was the Met score. I didn't ask for the Met score. It just Google freaking knows I'm a Mets fan, which is weird, but awesome at the same time.
So
you search for Mets on your phone, though, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Okay, so for
it
me,
taps into that knowledge graph.
On Sunday, it gave me a traffic alert notice that you are going to be. This is the time it should take you to get to work, and I thought, well, I don't work on Sundays. That's weird. Nexus 7
used to
Google Now. is still believes that I work on Sundays because
is Google Now in the chat room too? Or?
Google Now, I do not work full time at Twit anymore, so we need to change that. So I needed to start checking in my new place of employment and that kind of thing. But I thought that was really interesting on Sunday. They pulled up work traffic notice for me, and I thought, wow, I get why. It's
but what's so cool
is that used to be my habit of going into work.
And what I think is interesting about Google Now is not only the smart information. And the card base, but the fact that it's doing it's, and Jason's got up here. So you've got these cards. So here's the weather for Petaluma, and you can get local businesses, little cards for each local business. They've got traffic cards. They've got sports cards. They've got a whole bunch of different ones. But it also it is the Siri like voice search, which I think is really good.
I'm not doing a demo. Somebody else do it.
Yeah, no, I can do that.
I refuse to do the demo.
It is a
live.
Dangerous demo.
All right. So it's going
to
need to.
I was just for movie times. That one.
It's going to need to stay quiet. I have a few of these prepared here. Okay, so good. Here we go. All right, now you can wake it up simply by saying Google. Usually. Although, you know what? I did this on my phone. I didn't do it on my tablet.
I've never even done that yet.
It's not doing it. Oh, because I'm looking at sample?
No, you're fine. Just go back.
Google. Remind me to edit All About Android at 7:30 p.m. So it sets alarm for 7:30 p.m. to tell me, edit All About Android. Cool. Although it says edit on my Android.
So much better than S-Voice, everybody.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Okay, let's see here. Okay, Google. What color is the Golden Gate Bridge?
Orange.
That's right. Even though many people think it's probably golden.
Listen to her voice.
I love the next question.
Google.
Google.
No. Google.
Oh, come on.
What's the cast of True Blood? All right. Thank you.
Very good. Cool.
Thank you. Let's see here.
That's not the voice I'm talking about.
No.
It's not unique through the entire thing. It's the navigation voice.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's interesting.
Apple Bomb.
I just realized this. It's the navigation voice. It's a different voice because I was listening to, not to interrupt your demo here, but the navigation voice is completely different. She sounds computerized. The navigation voice sounds like someone's talking to you.
She sounds a little less computerized than I've heard in the past. Oh, yeah. It wasn't up all the way. All right. Google. Google. Am I plugging the mic or something?
Tilt it a little bit towards you.
Google. No, that's not.
Google.
You
can also trigger by hitting the mic.
So
I don't think they can hear it. So do one more and just you know.
Here, I'm gonna go ahead and tap the mic and go. Do a barrel roll.
Yay! I
did a barrel roll.
It's so silly.
Do one where it talks. Do one where it talks again. Ask the cast of another TV show.
I don't know.
Ask who the cast of Mad Men.
This is getting dangerous.
Stop. Be quiet. Okay, here we go. When is sunset?
8:37 p.m.
That's so cool.
We should be done with the show.
How tall is the Eiffel Tower? You can do a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. Yeah. I love Google Now. That is my...
I will just go ahead and say I had way better, pick up on my phone than I did on the tablet just now by saying Google. It never missed me on the phone.
Well, the other thing aside from Google Now, which is kind of slightly tied to Google Now, is the improved notification pane, which is honestly that's kind of one of my favorite things right now. Because not only within the navigation, the notification pane is designed a little differently, so you've got a little easier to get the settings, a little easier to get the auto rotate settings. It also is integrating with Google Now to give you notifications of your Google Now card. So, for example, I've already got the traffic to home. It's going to tell me how long it's going to take to get home in my notifications. If you get a phone call and you miss a call, you can just call the person from the notification pane. You can see the beginnings of emails that come in. Like, it's way more functional, powerful notification pane. And I thought that was a subtle difference, but it I think it well welcome and improved.
Sure.
Very cool.
Yeah, there's just a lot baked in here. Actually, you can get if you have a rooted device. I can't even think about that anymore.
I just wanted to bring up the. Am I in the window here? I just wanted to show the notification pad tab has changed for rotated devices.
Yeah.
So it's right. not the whole bottom corner anymore. It's just it's dragged down from the top, so it's unified even on
the okay, nice, so this is a good question, actually, and you might know more than I know about this. So on the 7-inch, obviously, it kind of mimics the layout of what you'd see on a phone. But on my 10.1, Ice Cream Sandwich has the kind of like layout that you saw on Honeycomb,
yep,
where all the stuff is at the bottom.
It depends on the size of the tablet.
So after it gets past like a 7 or an 8-inch or whatever.
It's actually, it has nothing to do with screen size. It's about resolution.
Oh, okay.
It's about, it's like, it's the extra large format. Or the,
so with more resolution, you're going to get the information down at the bottom.
Because
version.
At some point, it becomes pointless to do it that way.
Right, right. Well, there are a number, what's up?
Also, when you hold the thing this way,
the home
screen doesn't go landscape.
Are you sure you're not locked?
It's
I don't
not
know.
Locked.
Yeah. Oh, it's not locked.
It's not locked, yeah.
Yeah, then I guess it just doesn't.
It doesn't.
That's right, because it's mimicking what you get on a phone. And actually, phones, you know, on your phone, if you rotate it, it doesn't do it either.
So interesting.
It's mimicking more of the phone layout than it is the tablet layout, which on a 7 doesn't bother me at all. It works perfectly. It was interesting over the weekend as I've played with the 7-inch tablet, which we're going to talk about in a second, that having it portrait on the 7 actually makes a lot of sense. And then when I'm using my 10, I almost always pick it up and use it landscape. It's weird that
isn't that interesting?
Couple of inches of size difference between the two tablets make you use it differently. But
well, there's a natural bottom on these devices.
Yeah.
There's a natural bottom. Like portrait is landscape is natural for the 10.1, and then portrait is you just look where the port is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Just a few quick features that you may not have heard about. There's just a ton of features, and you should check it out at developer.android.com. They have the Jelly Bean page up, and they go just feature by feature, point by point. But a few that kind of jumped out at me. We've talked in the past about contact images being low res, and that's one thing that Jelly Bean is attempting to solve. I say attempting because they haven't quite nailed it. They bumped it up to 720 by 720 for those images, which is fantastic. Google syncs with Google Plus, and your images look great. And I've noticed it absolutely. But now everybody's noticing that if it ever syncs the images from Gmail, Gmail still stores their images at 96 by 96. So it wipes it out. And so you end up with horrible looking pictures again.
Yep.
So they need to get on, you know, in touch with the Gmail team and get that figured out. Jelly Bean also brings a new permission, read external storage. We've talked in the past about some people getting up in arms about the fact that apps that require no special permissions still have access to the SD card, which is just kind of the nature of drives in general. Jelly Bean brings with it the ability to add that in as a permission so that an app has to have permission to access read on the storage. So that's kind of cool for people that are worried about it. Notifications. You can eliminate notifications per app. So if you have an app that's spamming your notification bar, you can actually go into the app info and disable notifications on that one, whether they want you to or not. That is fantastic. And I think that's about, I mean, there's just a ton more features.
There's tons of widgets and all that good stuff.
The ability to silence a noisy app is a really big feature.
Yeah, and also, of course, and we're going to talk about it later, but a lot of audio, a lot of extra audio features, audio, USB.
Audio routing, yep.
You're gonna show us a little bit about that a little bit later in the hardware section. But that's kind of it. If you want to put it on your phone, like I don't have the IO Galaxy Nexus. This is my Verizon one. I found that there are plenty of ROMs that are already kind of hitting out there. So if you're rooted, get Jelly Bean on your device.
Well, they said, and if you're not in the root world, do we know when it's being rolled out? Did they give any date or anything?
They didn't give a date, but they said mid-July.
Mid-July for Nexus devices.
Right. Yeah, for Nexus devices, which, I mean, that mid-July is, we're 14 days away from mid-July, so.
Yeah. Right. Now, Google also introduced an initiative called the Platform Development Kit. And this actually enables OEMs and chipset makers to, quote, innovate in parallel with Google by offering those partners the PDK 2 to 3 months before a platform release date on all future versions of Android. So this is Google's kind of attempt to hopefully get all of their OEMs on the same page before a big release like this happens so that more of them can launch sooner with the new version. Whether it's actually going to fix anything, I guess, remains to be seen. But it's a good effort on their part.
I think it will, because a lot of people were waiting for Source. Like, you know, if they don't have a special relationship with Google, it was my understanding that they have to wait for Source, and right. You know, because they get to the Source same time everyone else does.
Yeah. So that's Jelly Bean.
Okay, let's move on to the Nexus 7, which is the piece of hardware that I had been waiting for pre-show, pre-Google I.O. I'm so excited that it's here.
And it's probably safe to say it's the winner of I.O. I mean,
I think so.
I think Jelly Bean is good, but this is the one that...
Face over here. Sorry, dude.
I disagree.
But this is the thing that most people were really excited about.
I thought Jelly Bean was cool. But anyway, no, I'm only kidding. No, it's all right.
Well, I mean, this comes with okay. Jelly Bean, yeah. So it's sort of like a packaged... deal, right?
Yeah.
A little bit?
It's kind of like...
I think they got it right.
I think it's an incredible device.
I have been such a proponent of 7-inch tablet devices, and I love it. I've been, you know... I love the Kindle Fire. I love the Nook. I love... And so when this came out, and I heard rumors that it was... You know, 7-inch. It's just easy. It's easy to read.
What was the one at CES? The ridiculous.
Oh, the Samsung Galaxy Tab 7.
What is that? 7.10.2 or whatever.
And then there's also the 7.0. I loved all of them.
Yeah.
I really did. But you know what? This is the official Google branded Nexus tablet, and I think it's fantastic. So, 7-inch screen, 1280 by 800 HD display. You know, we all got with this dev. Version, we all get Transformers. Or do we all get Transformers when you buy it?
No idea. Anyway, probably.
I bet I really cared. It's actually the movie I really want to delete, but it looks really good on this.
The Dark of the Moon. Transformers
The Dark of the Moon, yeah. Loads up really well. Okay, what else? It's very light. There's a 1.2 megapixel front-facing camera, although there's no camera app.
It's mainly for video chat.
Yeah. So Skype, I hear, works really well.
Google Chat.
And whatnot. Google Chat, that kind of thing.
Hangouts.
There is, you can get an 8-gig version or a 16-gig version of this tablet, $199 and $249, price respectively. There's a micro USB charger at the bottom. Again, it's running Jelly Bean. It's quad-core Tegra 3 processor, so they were really touting games on this.
They showed some really impressive graphic-intensive games. It took the words right out of my mouth.
I'm super excited to download pretty soon. And also, along with that, you're going to be doing a lot of reading on this, right? So in the store, there's new magazines and... you know, they're charging up the books and the rentals of the movie and TV shows.
They finally added TV shows. Now you can buy movies. You can buy and rent TV shows.
Super excited for that.
You can't rent TV shows. You can rent movies.
I thought they were the same thing.
You can rent TV shows, can't you?
You just buy them. They're $1.99.
And then along with that, if you purchase, I feel like I'm like their
good PR
person. Yeah. If you purchase one today, you can get a $25 credit that you can use at the Google Play Store.
Which is awesome.
I think it does come with that movie, by the way.
Everybody gets
If you buy one, you get Transformers, and you get the $25 credit.
Okay, I thought so.
Wi-Fi only. There's no, 3G or LTE version. That's the only thing that I think. I don't know. I wish I had. I know you can just tether and whatnot, but sometimes some people don't have that. So as someone who has used a device that has LTE and 3G on the tablet, it's kind of nice to have.
Yes.
But it's not necessary.
The thing I'm most impressed with is the hardware itself. The
hardware,
bezel,
the build.
The Asus did such a good, like, look how thin
this is,
especially compared to the Fire or whatever.
The Fire feels like a brick.
It looks a little plastic when you look
soft
at it,
touch.
But it's a soft touch, grip. Nice back.
The one that
you order is black, though, not white.
Mm-hmm.
This is the developer version, and I saw a interview with Matthias Duarte.
Sure.
Okay. With Matthias. Oh, Matthias.
Yeah. So he says that this grippy surface is supposed to kind of emulate like a car.
That's sort of steering wheel.
Steering wheel.
It feels like it. And
so you
and
feel
then,
like you're gripping really
I think,
well.
I don't know if you can really see here or maybe on the side camera. The
a car steering
the
wheel?
The buttons, the power button.
That's what he
and
said.
And the volume rocker. I'm not worried about using them too much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yes, they're plastic, but they feel sturdy, and they're in an awkward spot, but they're good.
I haven't gotten used to it yet, but I do like the way they feel. They feel really solid. I just haven't gotten used to where they are. Because I always find myself like slipping on them, but it's, I mean, really, it is solid hardware.
Yep.
This is designed or manufactured by Asus, and apparently it was done in about 4 months.
Start to finish. For 4 months, this
That's
was
quick.
Like... How
this
good did they do it for doing
months.
A rush job? I mean,
but they already had a platform, right?
Well, yeah, and they kind of already had some designs at I.O. Yeah, that they were showing off. But still, it's really CES. Impressive. Or sorry, at CES. It's still very impressive to have that kind of quick turnaround and have it be as solid as it's been.
Absolutely. You know, I think it feels I think it feels amazing.
And very inexpensive. $200. This is the tablet to get. If you can afford a $200. Oh, I love that photo. Did you guys see me? Okay, so at the keynote amazing. When they announced Johnny Shea in the audience, I went, what? Because didn't I say I would
you love
whoop
him.
It up if, fan, if he was there? And he was there. He was like,
big fan. I think he was like five rows in front of us.
I know. Yeah. I almost freaked out. Well, just like the Oprah moment when we got all our gifts. We'll get to that in a minute. But Ron was like, oh, my God, Eileen Squid. Like,
I've never heard Eileen make as much noise as she did the moment they announced all the stuff
you were
getting.
You weren't with me last year. Last year I did the same. Didn't I squeal?
Yes.
I don't remember the squealing.
I do.
But
I was right there. I definitely remember. It is ingrained in my memory.
Well, okay. I guess you squealed.
I did. Now, apparently, Nokia is warning Google that the Asus tablet that the Nexus 7 tablet infringes on wireless patents.
On their patents, they have a crap ton of mobile patents.
Yeah.
But they're actually kind of going about it a little bit better. They're not necessarily going after them right now and saying we're going to sue you into eternity or whatever. Who knows if they. You know, they might if Google or Asus doesn't work with them. But they're just basically saying companies who are not yet licensed under our standard essential patents should simply approach us and sign up for a license. So they're hoping that Google and Asus are going to sign up for a license. This is on the 802.11 Wi-Fi, one of their patents based on that. So, yes, patents.
So in addition to the Nexus 7 and the Jelly Bean announcement, I was all excited because they had kind of like a living room set on stage. I'm like, all right, cool. Now we're going to get ready for some Google TV goodness. And Google apparently had something else planned.
NFC too, sorry.
NFC on this tablet.
Sorry to interrupt.
That's going to come to a factor. Okay. So in a classic case of what I think of the left hand not knowing what the right hand is doing, Google announced a new device called the Nexus, and we have one here. It's called the Nexus Q.
Oh, and it's
the little
shiny.
Orb we have here.
It's on.
The Nexus Q is what they're dubbing as a social streaming player. And the idea being, and the whole demo video they showed us and everything, was that this is a device that is going to sit in your living room or in your kitchen or in your bedroom. And because of that, it should have good design. It should be like a work of art, which it absolutely does. It's fascinating to look at.
In your kitchen.
And what it is it's basically a audio and video streaming device. That allows you to play music or TV or movies directly from your Google Play account. And you control it with your phone or tablet. Now, what makes this interesting and different is that it also has a 25-watt amplifier and direct speaker hookups for speakers.
Banana plugs,
which if you're a home audio person, you know why we're all like banana plugs. But... But yeah, so you don't need a stereo at home. You could just get this device, get some speakers, plug them in, plug in the Ethernet, plug in the power, and you're off to the races. And you can, and there you can see the back of the device, and you can see there are the banana plugs, and there's the below that is. And if you do have a stereo, which is what I used, you can do digital optical audio out, which is what I use. There's Ethernet, HDMI out as well for the video and audio, hypothetically, and USB. So it's an interesting device. A lot of people were very confused by this because they said, well, is this competing with Google TV? And the thing is, it's not competing with Google TV. It's just a different product. If anything, from my analysis, this is more of an attempt to go after Sonos and like the AirPlay functionality. And then, which allows you to play audio in various different rooms and from different sources. What makes it social, which is actually honestly kind of neat, and I haven't done yet, but Jason, you've done, is that if you have friends over and you're listening to music everyone's listening to music from their Google Play accounts, this is probably why it's called the Nexus Q. There is a queue that you can allow other people to contribute to. So I can have my party mix and everyone can be hanging out and and the Jasons over there can say, hey, this music kind of sucks. And
click.
you can go on your phone and put on your music.
And you can Rickroll somebody.
Yes.
In actual real life, you can Rickroll somebody. Yep. They could be watching and listening to their music, and then you could put Rick Astley right in the queue, and then no one knows it's there. And then out of nowhere, wham, Rickroll.
But then everybody can look up their devices and see your icon.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, you can't.
They know who plays it. Yeah,
no, you know who plays it, but yeah. they don't know who plays it because there's seven guys in a room.
Yeah.
Like, you can just look at the guy laughing.
Admittedly, that's and I've had Sonos does similarly. Like, if you're in a house that has Sonos and you download the Sonos app, you can't play your music, but you can choose music from the owner's library. Uh-huh, so this is a cool way for you to bring your music to the party, which is really cool. I would love to see this technology put into Google TV because I've got that integrated into my home stereo system, and I wouldn't be surprised if they do that eventually. But Google Q was very – it left me scratching my head because at a price point of $299, I don't see who buys this at all. Like, that's the thing. If it was like – if you dropped the 25-watt amp and the speaker hookup and just had it hook up to a normal stereo or even had a cheap phono jack to a cheap set of speakers and priced it at $99, then it becomes much more attractive.
I think the price point has a lot to do with the hardware.
I agree. Yeah,
it is a Galaxy Nexus without a screen.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's just
and it's very well built. It's not just a box.
From what I heard, they didn't mention this in the presentation at all. But when press asked them why is it so expensive, they go, "Oh, well, it was designed and it's manufactured here in San Jose in America, so that's why it costs more." Mm-hmm. Like. That could have been a plus. It could have been a selling point.
They said it during the keynote that it was
did
made.
They showed video.
Didn't make that much bigger.
No, you're absolutely right. They wanted to do it here. They wanted to do it locally, and they said it was designed.
They said it was designed here. They didn't say it's being manufactured here.
I should have sworn they did because they showed pictures of during the video. They showed pictures of people in the manufacturing facility.
Oh, okay, mm-hmm.
talked about you know it's made in the U.S. and it's not just made in the U.S. It's made.
It's built
in San Jose.
Right.
Which is cool. And you could have. I think they could have done a whole made.
I honestly don't think that where it was made is really the price. I mean, it is a phone without a screen.
Right. And a 25-watt amp.
And a 25-watt amp is expensive.
Yep.
And I mean a phone right now, the Galaxy Nexus is $350.
Yep.
So I mean, you're not putting a battery in there. Take out the battery, put in the amp. Like, you're not far away from that price point. And I think that price point for being made in the U.S., I think it would be. I mean, if to not make it in the U.S., I mean, we're looking at what, $25 more. I don't know the price, but I can't imagine it's that big a difference.
I'm imagining that this thing will do more eventually.
Well,
I have to imagine that we aren't looking at the absolute max of what
right.
it's possible. I mean,
right.
it's definitely possible to do more with it. But right now, all it can do is access play account stuff, music, movies, as well as YouTube. You have to be able to do more with it.
Well, and sure enough, 24 hours after it was released, it was hacked.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the USB port was said during the keynote, yes. It is for hacking.
Yep. Yeah, so this is like their Apple TV device, whereas Steve Jobs, before he passed, said Apple TV is a hobbyist device.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so if they're looking for people to hack it, but people did hack it in less than 24 hours, they had it running games. So if it becomes
And
they sell games in the Google Play Store. So mm-hmm. it could make sense. I just don't, without an interface, without any, the only time when you hook it up to the TV, all you get is when you're playing music, you get visualization like iTunes
mm-hmm.
and the cover art and the name of the band. That's right now.
There's the visualization here.
We can pull the song. Oh. So you get that when you play video, what you do is you use your phone or your tablet as a remote control, basically. Yeah. You choose what you want to play on the tablet or the phone, and then it goes up on the screen. So that's all it does. So there's no interface, really.
Mm-hmm.
There's no remote. There is tactile controls, and I don't know if we can go to the wide shot, Chad, but you can see
the
here.
Volume.
You see, so the LED lights are playing when music is playing.
You can
control the brightness on this. You can turn it down.
Right.
But if you want to turn the volume down, you just rotate the ball, and that turns the volume down. Hypothetically. Oh,
because
he's playing the video.
Oh.
Yeah,
there you go. I lost.
Nice.
And then also, if you tap the device.
There you go. Yeah.
Now it's muted.
Yeah, now it's muted, right. Even though you can't hear anything anyways, for some reason we couldn't get the HDMI audio into the system.
I'm rolling the ball, and that's making the volume go.
It's also pretty. It glows.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. Like, we have it at... our house set up in our bedroom with a couple of speakers plugged into it. Even though when I really think about this device, I'm like, why bother with the amp and the speakers? If you can bring the price down to a more accessible place, I just have a feeling most people are going to be plugging this into their home stereo anyways. Like, why bother with
the amp? People who are going to buy it not have a stereo and want to and have speakers to plug in with banana clips?
But people that buy,
I had to buy speakers and banana cables.
Yeah. People that buy this to just plug speakers into it are going to want it to do more for $300.
Yeah. They're actually selling speakers.
They're going to want to be able to plug their, something else, the audio directly into it.
What's funny is that I came home that night from I.O. and I just had all my swag and my girlfriend is over and I'm plugging this. And she's like, what's that? And I explained it and showed it. And she's like, I don't get it. And I was like, right. Let me try again. So yeah. I explained it again. She's like, yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah.
So that's a problem,
Is the problem.
It's a real problem. Well, they're selling, like I said, they're selling speakers in the Play Store. They're selling $200 or $399 awesome bookshelf speakers. I don't know. I'm not familiar with speakers or the brand name of the, I'm not familiar with the brand name of those speakers, but
Are they Triad?
They're Triad?
Yeah. Chad says Triad.
Okay. Triad, they're good.
They're good. So Chad says they're good, which I assume that they are for $300 or $400. And they've also got really awesome looking banana cables. Banana cables are really ugly, as I've come to find out in the past 24 hours.
Triad.
So the Nexus Q was a little confusing, at least. But that said, there was some Google TV stuff that did get announced that did happen at the show. In addition to the we'll talk about in hardware with the Vizio devices, Google TV is going to get subscription support. So basically, you can subscribe to a TV show through Google Play and watch it on your Google TV. So that's certainly very cool. And then, of course, they announced that there's going to be a new Google Play Store for Google TV coming this year because the Google Play Store right now. Honestly, it's kind of hacked together, it's not in line with the current Google Play Store. Like the look of it isn't the same. Google TV, Jason's making a face at me.
I don't know what you're talking about.
On the Google TV, the Google Play Store.
Yes. Sorry, I thought you were talking about on the device. I'm like, how does it not look the same?
So they're gonna fix that later in the year. When I was at the Sony Google TV party, Sony was showing off their box, their little like kind of Roku box S that's running Google TV. And I was talking to one of the guys that work at Google in the Google TV group, and we're talking about the Q. And he's like, no, you gotta understand. He's like, these are two different products. We're not making products to compete with each other. Google TV, we're committed to the platform. There's a lot of cool stuff that you can do. We just had a big update earlier in the year. Sony and Roku have got these great devices, but it was kind of the Q's moment to shine. So everybody was curious, does this mean it's the end of the Google TV? Those reports are a bit false as of right now. We'll see how it goes, but
Do we have one of the Sony devices here?
No, I'm trying to get my hands on one.
Okay. Well, the remote is all I actually care about.
The remote is really cool.
The remote is unbelievable.
The remote, we saw that at the Palo Alto event where the remote is, it's got a touch screen, it's got a flip around, it's got a keyboard, it's got a microphone, you can do voice commands. They showed, and actually at the Sony Google TV event, they had all these games that the remote was being used to control. We saw each other as I was leaving. We passed each other on the street. there are a whole bunch of games that utilize that innovative remote design.
It has motion capture, motion stuff in it.
Exactly.
It's like a Wiimote on crack.
Yep. Before we leave I.O., let's talk about the big thing that happened on the first day of the keynote, which actually saved the keynote, because we went into Google Plus. We're not going to get into it today. Google Plus events. There's a lot of new updates to Google Plus. I love the new Google Plus app, by the way. It looks great.
Yeah, it does.
Love it.
Better.
But as Vic Gundotra was up there going on and on about events, and I was like, okay, when is this ending? And we've got another half an hour. What the heck is happening? All of a sudden, Sergey Brin comes out, and I just said, hooray, something's happening. He's got the glasses on.
Not only did he come out, but he came out with something on his face.
Yes.
And the audience just gasped.
Yes. Yeah. It was Project Glass. He had one. He was wearing one, and then he just went into this whole thing about, sorry, I'm going to interrupt, but, we've got these skydivers. It's a very timed event, and we've got this airship that's upstairs or above the Moscow. Or near Moscone, and they're going to jump, and they're wearing the glasses, and blah, 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 blah. And then it just became this real big thing where they jumped out of the airship, and then they landed on the roof, and then they went on BMX bikes and did some tricks, and then they rappelled down, and then they brought the glasses up to the stage. It was insane.
It was incredible. They wingsuited in. They landed. It was incredible. But what was really funny was how Sergey ran up on stage with wait, I'm going to let you finish, but...
Yeah. I know. But wait a minute. So I have to say that was so much fun.
And it was clearly because at least from what I can glean and also talking to people at Google, things like that, was they got these skydivers to do it, but there was a lot. There was fog to deal with in San Francisco.
Possibly, yeah.
And
yeah.
All this sort of stuff. So I guess they said, okay, we're going to do it when we can do it, mm-hmm. regardless of where you are in the keynote. And it just went to mayhem after that. I mean,
absolutely.
It was just insanity because not only were they showing Google Glass, Google Glass is hard to say, Project Glass, they're showing it working. They're showing the cameras on Google Glass streaming on Project Glass.
Yeah, which
streaming
is what you're
to,
looking. If you're watching our video, that's what you're seeing.
The skydivers are wearing the glass prototype, and mm-hmm. it was streaming to a Hangout, like legit. And then they had a presentation about the Project Glass, the industrial design that went into the actual objects.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get to touch the things.
But, no. But Jason and I signed up for a developer copy.
So that's
the drama moment that you need to get through at Google I.O. So we're sitting in the audience of Google I.O.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Well, there it is.
So this is what, when you sign up for the developer,
kit.
Thank you, Chad.
Thank you.
Is
this yours?
Yeah.
So Jason is 737. Okay. I'm 713. You get this, and this is to represent the glass that you will eventually get.
Well, yeah. So we're sitting in the audience, and we've seen the Nexus 7 tablet. We've seen the Q. We've seen the Jelly Bean update. And the whole time we're sitting there, we know that last year you guys got the Samsung tablet, so we know we're getting something, right? And so is it going to be the tablet? Is it going to be the Q? What is it going to be? And Circuit comes out with the Project Glass, and there was a palpable energy in the room. We're going to get the glass. We're going to
Yeah, there was a little
totally,
bit of that where you were like,
we're
I
getting
not
the glasses.
You turned
happen.
To me and you said, what if we get the glasses?
I'm like, what?
And I said, no, we're not going to get
and
it.
And they're spending that, so much time that, with these videos about the design.
And then at one point I turned to you and I said, well, maybe we can get that after all.
No, and so then Sergey gets up there and goes, listen, you know, we're developing this and we need you, the developers, to help us do that. And we want to put this in your hands.
At that point, people were screaming.
Well, there was literally screaming.
It was Oprah moment, man.
So we're going to make, for everyone here at Google I.O., we're going to make Project Glass available to you first. You can go out the room to the right. There's a place where you can sign up. And we'll send it to you in early 2013, and it only costs $1,500.
He led with $1,500, though.
Out of the room.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
So it's not available to fair to him. Year, and it's going to cost me almost $2,000.
To be fair with him, he led with $1,500.
Yeah, he
so he built it up, like, and we're going to make it available to pre-order. He got to that $1,500 really quick, but you're absolutely right. The second he said $1,500... Everyone just there was silence. Yeah. I can't imagine what it would look like on stage, but it literally looked like somebody just had.
It was worse than when announced the pricing of the Q. When the pricing of the Q came out, everybody was
And it also doesn't help that the Q presentation probably was one of the worst ones of them all. Like it was a rough presentation.
There was a little bit of acting there that was a little questionable, to say the least. But overall, it was a lot of, like, they did a great job with that keynote. And they really, I mean, as far as packing value into I.O., the 3 days just had an insane amount of kind of workshops and sessions. I mean, people, by and large, just had a great time and really learned a lot.
It was a big deal.
And they introduced so much new Nexus, just Nexus in general there. So they really brought it this year.
Which was interesting because there were no hardware kiosks. Like last year, we saw a bunch of, Motorola and Sony.
This year, it was all Project Glass. It was a very interesting choice not to have the vendors there.
Yeah, I was looking for them, and then I thought, this is not about them.
There were Nexus hardware booths. There were three of them.
I thought, yeah, three or four.
Yeah, there were
three,
three
or four.
A lot.
Throughout,
but there were no other hardware.
The only other quick thing to note is that on the second day was much more Chrome based and much more app engine, much more developer. But we also walked out of there with a Chromebox. Which I don't know if you got a chance to hook and play with, but I hooked mine up, and that's pretty cool. It's like a little Mac Mini running Chrome OS.
Oh, okay.
Pretty neat.
It's an interesting comparison, but yeah. I mean, I would agree it's a Mac Mini running Chrome because it looks just like one.
Yeah.
A matter of fact, I sat mine on top of it by accident and forgot which one was which.
But it was great. It was my first I.O. I loved it. I'm going to be back next year if they'll have me. It was wonderful. And the whole the whole atmosphere. I mean, I've been to a lot of tech shows, as you guys have, mm-hmm. in the conference. The whole atmosphere was just energy.
It was positive.
It was really very positive.
Everybody there is pretty.
Weird statement, but yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
It was the most polished of all the IOs. Like, the prettiest and most polished. Like, just the booths, mm-hmm. just the everything was...
Dude, so, giant sphere of the cube.
You guys ready for me to bring you down a little bit?
Well, there's a little notch. As soon as Google I.O. happens, all of these devices get announced. Boom.
Boom. So also at Google I.O., by the way, Google handed out unlocked Galaxy Nexi, whatever you want to call them, to all attendees with their swag. And then we heard news of Apple being granted a preliminary injunction that could ban the sale of that same phone in the U.S. This follows Judge Koh's similar judgment 2 days earlier banning sales of the Galaxy Tab 10.1. The patent in question covers core voice and search functionality. Now, this injunction becomes effective once Apple ponies up a $95.6 billion bond, or million, sorry, not billion, million-dollar bond. Samsung appealed. And Reuters is now reporting, this is kind of breaking news, as of a few minutes ago, that Judge Koh has denied Samsung's request.
Wait, is that breaking news?
That's kind of breaking news.
Denied the request for what?
For Samsung's appeal.
So Apple has to pay. This is going to get pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So Apple has not paid that 96.
Yeah, as far as I know, they have not paid that yet. This is a pretty big deal. As you know, Galaxy Nexus is a flagship phone, right? It's now one of only two official devices running the latest version of Android, Jelly Bean, in some cases. Not everybody has it yet. And it's soon going to probably be illegal to sell it in the U.S.
But the thing is, they have to come up with 96 million. That is
Apple
far
can't come up
that.
With 96 million.
No, hold on. No, I know that. But the thing is...
You know that.
They might have that money, but that I've never heard a figure that high for an injunction ever. Like, normally it's $4 million, normally it's $2 million. I've never heard of a $96 million bond.
Saying, yep. Well, I don't know if that's
what Apple has paid the bond.
Oh, we don't know.
Okay,
that. I don't know if that's
the chat
confirmed.
Room. That's unconfirmed.
I don't know.
Can't substantiate.
Yeah, absolutely.
That would be interesting.
There's a link.
Yeah, Google will be offering what? Well, Verge is reporting that Google will be offering. Let's see here. Google hopes to escape
with a software patch.
Okay, so Google's stepping in. Well, a lot of stuff kind of breaking
right now.
Huh?
That's why we moved the show to Tuesday. So many things happened.
So if there's a patch, that must mean that they paid.
Chad needs to get that breaking news thing.
So you're saying if there's a patch, then you think Apple paid? That's why this is happening.
I can't imagine. I mean, you'd patch it one way or another.
You
patch it one way or another. But the thing is, if they didn't pay, there's still a patch, and then there's no... I don't know. Like, okay. I have no idea, to be perfectly honest.
Wow, okay. Yeah. So, we're getting all these to get away from the sales ban.
Yeah, I would imagine we'll know a little bit more about this in next week when we have the episode. We should also just mention, because we've talked about this in the past, Apple wasn't so lucky in calling for an import ban against HTC devices that they claim continue to infringe on their data tapping patent. This after the One X and Evo 4G LTE were held up in customs last May, if you remember, and then allowed to enter the U.S. Keep in mind that HTC said back in April that it would remove this infringing feature from all of their phones. We have yet to hear if or when that will actually happen, or if it has, whatever.
That's interesting.
Gosh. So,
all right.
Crazy times.
So we've got 8 minutes left in the show, so let's...
No, we don't have eight minutes left. Not in the show. We're probably going
to
have to chop some things out of here. Let's crank. Hardware. Boom. Thank you. That's cranking. All right. Cool. Well, let's talk to you. Let's speed through your interview. Not really, because I do actually want to see this, and some other things can be cut. Because this is kind of cool. We talked a little bit earlier that Jelly Bean has some new kind of audio over USB features. And that's kind of a big deal because peripherals and, you know, kind of extra gear to work with Android devices as a whole have been kind of they just haven't been as widespread as they are on other platforms like iOS. Because you can't do this, and now you can, right?
Yes, absolutely. Sorry, I'm looking through my phone trying to find something that is appropriate. So last year, I got to keep my years straight. Last year in 2011, Google announced Android Accessory Development Kit, or the ADK, which runs on the Android Open Accessory platform. And ever since then, I've been busily working on a product. Oh, you turned it back for me. Oh, thank you. I don't know if we have a camera on this. Do we? No, not really.
We don't,
really.
But
we
I don't, can hold but, it up.
Well, hold on. You don't want to.
If needed.
Hold on.
Or maybe
we got
I don't.
A bunch of cables running out of that. yeah, that'll work. Let's see if I can find the right light angle. There we go. So essentially, this is based on the AOA platform, and it is the first USB Android. Let me see if I can get these cables not wrapped around each other. Accessories. Well, that did it. Sorry, I'm touching lots of things, and it's going. Anyway, it's a speaker dock. So what you have here is a cable, a USB cable running to the okay.
Oh, yeah. Chad,
Chad is killing me. All right.
Right, it's just all tangled up.
All right, I don't know where I'm going either. So, all right.
Stay with this one.
Stay this, yeah. So we have a USB cable, and if we look, oh, there's no way I'm going to be at the right ankle on this. So, there, lighting. So you see the hole in the bottom will accommodate the actual casing of the cable, and there's a route that allows you to just kind of set it in there, which is cool because you can set it this way or even on top, and it will support the 7. Actually, if you don't mind passing me that 7, it kind of, I'm not going to drop your 7. I'm going to find it without looking. There it is.
Phew.
So let's see if I can turn it up. I don't know if you can hear this, Chad, or not. So essentially what you have is it charging and playing audio over USB. So in you want to go back to the wide, Chad. So in Jelly Bean, there's something that allows me to support USB audio. So USB audio, since USB audio is supported in Jelly Bean, I have just the Play, Google Play, supporting on the USB audio dock. And then in 2.3.4 Gingerbread, all the way to ICS, we have an app that'll allow you to stream music, set the alarm, set the time, and control the FM radio. And in Jelly Bean, same app, just it doesn't stream the audio. It allows you, you can use any media player you want, or you could use the app, either way. And this product is, it's a Gear 4 product. So I'm a product engineer for Gear 4, and I have been working on this product for while now.
This is the thing you hinted to.
This is the thing I've been working on. We've been kind of keeping it under wraps, trying to figure out the best way to go with this. And now that Jelly Bean is supporting system audio, this is as good as time as any sort of jump on this. And we're looking at doing, so it's end of Q3, and it will be sub 150, legitimately sub 150.
Nice.
Not $149.99. It is going to be sub 150 and not that number. It's Q3, and we're we're doing. Oh, I unplugged it.
That's okay.
Yeah. So we're doing a. I think we have more info at gear4.com/android, and you can sign up for all the announcements. Whoa.
Because it powered
announcements, and you know what? I've got 5 units left in my beta test. So if you want to do a beta test of this, which I'm sure lots of people do. Because it's cool. Because it is, you know, it's the first Android speaker dock, and I actually really like this, even though I've been doing it.
Yeah, I mean, and some people in the chat room are like, yes, we get it. It's a speaker dock. I think the cool thing to emphasize here is you couldn't really do this before.
No, you couldn't do this. This is
you
the first.
You see this a lot on iOS,
yes.
Right? All these iOS devices that are controlled through whatever it's plugging into and everything. Mm-hmm. You couldn't do this before. Now you can.
Yep.
Yours is kind of one of the first to kind of come to market and be able to do this. We're going to see a lot more of this stuff in different
ways. Absolutely.
And that's kind of cool, right? People have been asking for a really long time to have some, you know, these hardware devices. Like I imagine probably around the corner are, you know, stereo in your car, you know, in dash, whatever, that could be completely controlled in the same way that you can with a lot of iOS devices. This is now enabled with Jelly Bean. I think that's fantastic. I think that's exactly what people have been calling for. So,
yep.
So good job. Right on you. So how should they contact you if they want to be part of beta?
To get to part of the beta, I'd like you guys to follow Gear 4 on Google Plus. So search for Gear 4 on Google Plus. Follow it. You can see there's one with the Engadget posting, and I will pull them out of there. Okay. My phone's buzzing. I'll pull beta tests out of there. So yeah, if you follow on Google Plus And to know that, to let me know you're from AAA, just send me, actually, you know what? Send me on Google Plus as well. You can send messages, right? You can do the whole post on.
Yeah, just send a message to just to you.
Yeah. Just send a message. Send a message to me and to Gear 4 saying you want to be part of Beta Test from AAA.
Cool.
Excellent.
I think it's really cool. I'm gonna.
I'm
I
not
want
excited.
One.
You
know
you
I want.
Too. You know. Oh, there it is. There's Gear 4.
Yeah. So.
Yay.
Cool. So, just to speed through the rest of the hardware, I mentioned earlier when we were talking about Google TV that there was a product announcement, and Vizio actually got into the game, and they've announced a $99 box called the CoStar. It's going to be available in July, and I saw it, and it's actually a pretty nice looking box, and it's also got a pretty innovative remote similar to what Sony's doing. Chad, I don't know if you can pull it up, but it's got a pretty cool shot of it here on the website. And there you can see it, and it will be a Vizio box running Google TV, which is very, very cool. So I'm going to try to get my hands on that one as well and play with it.
All
Yay.
Right.
Okay.
Boom.
Moving on. One is email, but it's just really quick. I created a site called androidinthewild.tumblr.com. I'm looking at
your emails.
I'm looking at your emails, your Twitter, hashtags, your G+. I only did a few last night, but Chad... There are some of your...
Oh, what's that?
Okay, there's a note in the back pocket of that woman. There is a Sony watch.
Look at that one. Back pocket test.
Yep. There is a tablet, a Galaxy Tab. There is a Vizio Tab over to the left, top left. And then there's another note. Now, just a little bit of a debate here on whether or not to keep the note in the Android in the wild.
We had joked about how the note was a little bit of a white whale, but it is not. Apparently, it's way out there more than we thought.
I got a ton of responses last night that, I see it everywhere in Sydney. I see it everywhere in Japan. I see it everywhere in London. It's like, okay, you know what? Maybe the note should not be in this Android in the wild.
Yeah,
maybe. It's mostly
tablets. I think it's mainly mostly tablets and the watch. I think the watch, you get double
points. The watch. Double point. Every once in a while.
See, I can actually fit the 7 in my front and back pocket.
Oh, that's the 7 totally passes the back pocket test. Yeah. It totally does. And you can even sit with it.
The Nexus 7 is a good one.
You should go talk to a tailor.
Right now, I'm sitting with Android in the wild.
I'd like to find a pair of jeans that fits a 7 and a Galaxy Nexus, not on top of each other.
That's weird.
It is, isn't it?
All right. Anyway, androidinthewild.tumblr.com. I'm curating that and keep them coming, guys. Thank you so much. I think every time I get a little reply that somebody's submitted something, I get really excited and happy. So thank you.
Let's quickly dip into apps.
Yeah, app.
Oh, yeah.
App, I think, at this point.
Oh, app.
App.
Out the arena.
So one of the other announcements at Google I.O. that affects apps, specifically in Android, is the Google Maps. They announced finally support for offline mode for Google Maps.
Yay.
In addition to, and I'm totally sideloading in some other announcements, they also announced Chrome for iOS, which was a big deal, not for the show, but for a bigger deal, and also Chrome syncing across from your desktop to your phone to your tablet. Really cool. But that Google Maps update is one that a lot of people have asked for. So now basically you can download the entire San Francisco map, the entire New York City map, the entire Paris map. If you don't have a signal, you don't need the map. You don't need to have a full signal to get to the map
data. For traveling
very cool. Yeah.
Yes, Lepton. Offline mode has been in labs forever. This is the official rollout of it, and you can do this in advance for a particular area that you are traveling to. So that's actually very cool. If you are traveling, it's not just putting it in offline mode where you happen to be right then.
Right.
You can actually do it in advance for other
places. I
know
I'm going to Barcelona. Let me download the map because I don't have international service.
Right.
But I can still use my phone as a data device for the map.
No,
device,
I mean, this has been long overdue for being included in the app officially. So
cool.
That's fantastic.
So that's our app for this week.
Yeah, but we have more apps because we still have to get to the arena. And I think we can kind of breathe a little bit through the arena. We have some time.
One lives. Android.
That was some rundown navigating.
Yeah, I know. Suddenly,
you guys knew what happened there.
So while Jason was doing his demo, Ron and I were like, delete this. And then we almost messed up our rundown. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, anyway. See, I missed that.
Yeah,
thankfully.
You were hanging out with Jason over there, and we were just like, oops, we messed
this up.
I had
no idea this was going on.
Yes.
I was involved in my demo.
Everybody knows. So last week we had...
Wait, before we get to last week, currently Tech Ace gave us in the chat room.
Oh.
Eileen was at 6 wins. Eileen and I were tied at 6 wins. Jason had 7 wins. And the guests were at 4 wins. And so last week...
I'd like to say I'm part of one of those wins.
Yeah, you're a guest.
Yeah, you are. You're one of those.
You might be a part of another one.
I'm going.
It's possible.
And so now last week's...
So now last week's... Boyd for Twitter, Eileen's app wins with 44% of the votes.
So now she is tied with you for first. I'm back in second and sixth. I checked before we went to I.O., and I had a sturdy lead.
Really?
I was like, real colors, totally kicked butt.
Yeah, I saw
you gave me what I needed.
Winning for a while.
And then I didn't check until today, and I was like, Eileen beat me.
Mm-hmm.
So, good job.
Congrats to Boyd. Yeah. I, you know, all of you who had supported them. I really like the developers over there at the UK. So, congrats to them. They want me to take a little picture using the app with the twit sign behind. So, I got to do that before I leave today.
Second place, Real Colors with 29%. Third place, World Travel Guide by Trapiso, 22%. And, wow, people did not like Centipede Origins. I think people are just so... it's hard to buy into a revised version of something as classic as Centipede. And I can completely understand that.
Is that your app?
That was my app. Yes.
I like Centipede.
I like Centipede, too. I also like the remake, but a lot of people didn't. So, see, that's why I need to just stick out of games. So, this week, what we were going to do, we had said last week that we were going to take apps from Google I.O. and just review those. I don't know. I was able to find a couple apps that I thought were pretty cool there. A lot of them you've just kind of seen before. It wasn't like
it wasn't like
you were seeing like...
I was hoping there would be a lot more like kind of up-and-coming developers showing off their stuff. And admittedly, unfortunately, my day job kept me from going to like a lot of the sessions.
Right,
I could have met developers there, but I didn't. But the kind of arena that they had up at Google I.O. where there was people showing off their apps. Like Pinterest has an app coming out. They're showing that off. There's a lot of games.
That's a good app.
It's a good app, but it's not out yet.
Yep.
And also Pinterest kind of people always somebody earlier today, we didn't talk about it, we'll probably talk about it next week, but VLC is now out for Android. And someone on Twitter is saying, oh, you should choose that for the arena. Generally I shy away from like obvious apps.
Yeah,
like
the big
that.
One. Yeah, right.
Actually I tried, but
you
it
did.
Is not available for my phone. So.
See, I would have objected based off of the commonality rule.
Really?
Yeah. It's a
Yeah, it's one of those
rule,
like Flipboard if we had done
exactly.
that. It's kind of unfair.
Oh, I can't choose Flipboard this time?
No.
Oh,
but,
I'm ready.
But yeah, but so I walked around looking for apps. And I didn't really find anything that was arena worthy. I felt so we're scrapping that.
I did.
All right.
I found one that
it.
I actually liked a lot.
With it. Of course.
Oh, I'm sticking with it. No, I thought
it's a
it was
choice.
Great. So I got to talking with a few of the different app makers there. One in particular is called Tapestry. It's by Ikata Systems, and I think what kind of stuck out for me on this. Was just that, again, they're doing something that in Jelly Bean in particular, Jelly Bean is required for this app. They've made some changes to Jelly Bean that actually enable this kind of technology that Tapestry is doing. It's definitely beta. They say version 1 update is coming soon. And essentially what it is it's a photo slideshow sharing application. It does not require any infrastructure connectivity to work. So you don't have to be on a Wi-Fi access point, Bluetooth, no data connection, GPS, none of that. What it uses is Wi-Fi Direct. Now, Wi-Fi Direct was included in Ice Cream Sandwich, but it's been refined in Jelly Bean to make it work more effectively. And it's a Wi-Fi peer-to-peer connectivity standard that allows you to do things like discover and transmit data between devices at, they say, 30 to 60 megabits per second. So it's a synchronized photo slideshow, and I'll kind of show you what I mean here. I have, let's see here, I got to manage two devices now. This could be kind of difficult. So over on the right-hand side here, I have Tapestry, and this is like, in this case, the host device, right? What I'm doing is I'm setting up a slideshow for, let's say I have a bunch of friends over and I'm showing them my trip to the Philippines, although this is just a bunch of Instagram photos. So let's imagine that these are my pictures from my trip. I'm going to go ahead and go into this broadcast mode here, and it pulls up the image on the screen. Now, on my Nexus 7, I'm going to go ahead and go into view mode. And let's see here. It's going to look over Wi-Fi Direct and search for the connection. On my Galaxy Nexus, I'm curator ID Jason GNex. So hopefully it will appear on the Galaxy or the Nexus 7 eventually. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer than others. I'll leave it for just a few seconds here. Although maybe because I left it open, it's a little tricky here. Hold on one second. Of course. Now, they did specify some of this stuff, like I said, is a little bit more beta, so you have to imagine that it's not working perfectly right now, and they totally spelled that out to me when I said that I was going to review this on the show, and of course, it's not syncing. It was doing it right before the friggin' show. You gotta be kidding me.
Jason, are they both on the same Wi-Fi? Because when
it's not through Wi-Fi.
Oh, it's not.
It's Wi-Fi direct. So that's kind of the thing here. It's not through the Wi-Fi network. I'm going to cancel out of it, go back into it, view. It's going to look over Wi-Fi direct. And, yeah, that's my friend texting me. You got to be kidding me. It's not working. Sorry, you guys.
That's how I felt when I did the S-Voice demo. I feel your pain.
Oh, you know what? I've done this 10 times today. I have literally done this 10 times today.
Yeah.
Well,
it's okay. We believe you.
Well, that's one thing to believe. It's another thing to see. It's actually very cool.
It'll happen.
And you know what? They're totally watching right now. So
I have to say thank you for all the interest in beta testing.
Okay. Cool.
I've been adding people to the test as we've been going.
All right. I'm just going to do this one more time. And if I need to... Okay, so send it. It says that I'm sending. Go to Tapestry. View. Let's see here. Please work. I'm going to feel really bad if this doesn't work for them. They showed it to me. It was very cool. I'd done it a million times today. It's not working, you guys. Ekata Systems, I'm very sorry. Ultimately, what it should do... Wow, this really sucks. What it should do is it allows me to control it from my Galaxy Nexus for anyone that's connected to it, right? So when I'm swiping back and forth, all those changes are happening on every device that's connected to me. And on this device, if I wanted to download it, I could swipe down and actually download the image to the device specifically. And it's just kind of a good example, a good indication of kind of what you could do with this technology if it was working properly. And I have to reiterate, they said it's a total beta kind of bleeding edge idea. And I just confidently knew that because I had got it to work a million times earlier today that it would work right now. And of course it's not. So apologies to Ekata Systems. It's not very much of a great demo.
Wi-Fi has not been your friend today.
I'm a little upset about that.
I'm sorry.
All right.
It was cool, though.
I need to get a beer for Jason. Yeah.
I'll keep working on it.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to move on for mine. Mine is also photo-based and similar. And it's actually an app that is a little obvious in terms of that whenever you see folks on Instagram or in Twitter or stuff like that post a photo that actually is multiple photos and it's separated into little boxes.
Oh, right.
I'm always like, oh, how do they do that? And it was one of those things where I finally had the time where I'm like, there's got to be an app for Android that does that. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, there was. I found one. It's called PicFrame. And it's actually pretty neat in terms of that. It's super easy to work with. And here we go. You can take a look at it here. So when you pull up PicFrame, and I totally should have cleaned my screen, so I apologize. But when you pull up PicFrame, you get a plethora of choices in terms of frame designs to choose from. And nice. And what you can do is you can choose the frame organization you would like. And then here you get the blank frames, and you just tap on each one, and it goes to your camera roll, and you can then choose the photos that you want to put into the frames. So I can go through, and I can go find the other photos and... There's a little Nexus Q, and I'll throw in one more. If I want to show what my day has been like, I'll throw in those Marvel Comics guys. Now, once you've got them in, you can do a couple of things where you can move around within the frame. So I'd rather zoom in to show the Q off a little more. So I can pinch and zoom that. I can pinch and zoom and show off Wolverine. There you go there. And this one, I kind of want to move it over there so you can see the word suede. Pretty cool. So then additionally, what you can do is you can adjust the width of the borders. So I can make the borders of the frames thicker or not. And I was really impressed at the amount of control you have. You can change the color. So I change it to red. You can round the corners because, you know, we all love those rounded corners, right? And then from here, you can of course, choose share. You can choose the resolution, whether you want a medium resolution or maximum resolution. And you can either save it or share it. And you can either save it to your gallery or share it and put it out, and it'll render the whole photo, and then it gives you all your various sharing choices. And so if I want to go and post it on Instagram, it will just port it right over into Instagram, and there it is. So real simple. It's one of those things that, honestly, I had a little iOS envy that I saw my friends on iPhones doing for years. And again, you know, I probably just needed to search for it and find it, but I finally did. It's only 99 cents. And it makes, you know, kind of sharing photos a lot of fun. And it's I'm impressed at how they've integrated the design with Ice Cream Sandwich so it's fully kind of ported over to the Ice Cream Sandwich navigation. So, you know, up here you can clear the frame that you're working in. You can adjust the ratio of photos, whether you want to do a widescreen 16:9 or a square 4:3. I just leave it 1:1. But they do a really nice job of making it really easy to use. There's the menu where you can choose from a black border to a white border or just some auto, you know. There's also some effects where you can I got to put in a photo here.
Are there filters on this?
There are no filters, which is good. So there's a picture of my friend Shia LaBeouf. And you can say adjust effects and tap on it, and I can change the brightness, and I can change the contrast, and I can change the sharpness. So while it's not totally, you know, like filtery friendly, like right. In Instagram, you could do that in Instagram when you port it out to it. Right. So, but yeah, PicFrame, 99 cents, pretty easy to use and fun to work with. Is yours working now or no?
Yes, it is.
All right.
Yeah, I want filter sparkling side.
And I'm only going to spend one more minute on this. That was very cool.
Yeah.
Sorry. I was fuming.
I bought you your time.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Actually, Alan, who works for for the company that makes this app, actually emailed me saying, disconnect from the Wi-Fi access point because they're actually working with Google to get this address. This is an interference issue that I guess is part of Jelly Bean, that if you're connected to a Wi-Fi access point, it blocks your Wi-Fi direct. Mm-hmm. So I have it now. Yay. And of course, I've lost half the people in this demo. But anyway, so show it real quick, Chad, and I'll just kind of show you essentially what it is. So essentially, it allows me to control it from my Galaxy Nexus.
Vindication
that it actually does work. They're working on the kinks to figure this out, to make it so that it will work when you're connected to your Wi-Fi access point. If you were a grill lover and you saw this in your slideshow, you could go down and it saves it to your gallery. The concept behind this is that it would be an app that you could use at like a party instead of having everyone huddle around your phone to see your photos or something like that.
Yeah.
You could share it with everybody to do it.
No, that'd be really good for too. Throwing them up, if that app was running on a Google TV.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You wanted to share
Your own timed slideshow to Google TV.
Exactly.
Actually, Alan did ask, and I can find that note here, they are looking for your input as to how this kind of technology could be further implemented. They are working on things. That's a really great idea. You can contact them through the Play Store if you think of something that might be useful to them as far as taking this idea, which is kind of at the starting point, and kind of broadening it out. But I thought it was just kind of a cool thing that I hadn't seen before, controlling a slideshow on one device via another, and they had it working on multiple devices at I.O. But the trick is to not be connected to a Wi-Fi access point. There you go. I'm going to go find a rock that I can crawl under now. Who's next?
I think, am I next?
Yeah, you're next.
Yes, you are next.
That's
go.
Great. Hold on. I have five
for
minutes.
For me and you.
and I need to find something this Android in the Wild. That looks that looks harmless. Okay, so my app is Log Me In Ignition. It is available in the Play Store for
the low price of
$29.99.
Uh-huh.
$30. But for people who use Log Me In or don't, it's a free service, or there is a free level. Am I in the box here?
You should be.
All right.
I'll guide you.
We don't have a camera, but. I kind of do. So this is my... There's no way this is happening. Basically, it is a remote desktop software, but it works really well. So that's my computer that's actually right here. It's got a keyboard. You can access all of them. I'm not going to go back to the list of computers for security reasons. but essentially, it has a list of all your personal computers that are running the LogMeIn software, and it works really well. So I'm running over Wi-Fi, so I can, you know... It's you can see it highlighting and oh no you can't
because it's covered.
It's just really tiny.
Yeah.
But
it's okay.
You've got left and right click. You can change monitors. You can do multiple monitors. But essentially, you just pinch zoom around the screen and click. I've done a lot of remote work this way. You know, I forgot to send this email. Oh, I forgot to attach this file. You know, drag it into Dropbox. It works really well. Yeah, it's $30, but it's a free service day to day. I'm not using any of the premium tiers. I'm using a free service. It's a $30 app. I use it every day.
it is it works really well. It works even better on a tablet because it's a larger surface. It's just a really polished app with that I think actually warrants the $30 price
tag. It's on the Google like editor's choice list. Like they,
is it?
They push it. On, yeah. I noticed on in the Play Store when I was playing on the Nexus 7. It's on there. And so I was like, $30? It must be really. Yeah.
It's really solid. I know that under their screenshots, they actually show the list of computers if you scroll down. Yeah, there it is. Second screenshot. That's what I just showed. If you go to the second screenshot, that's the list of computers right there. So you can actually, like, it even gives you your groupings, and it'll support the power remote turn on or whatever it is, power over Ethernet turn on, and then it's solid. It actually works really well. That's pretty much.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, I use LogMeIn all the time on my desktop just to remote into this computer. If Final Cut, you know, is taking a long time to render something out, I can go home and then do the rest of the stuff from home or whatever. But that's awesome on mobile.
Yeah.
Certainly makes a really big screen very small, though.
Yeah, it does. But that's they really do handle it well. With pinch zoom, so you can really kind of get in there and read everything you want with the Android.
Right.
And like I said, it's got left and right click, so you can now right click and it's got the full sort of and then if you tap, basically you can turn the mouse on left or right click, and then if you tap it will be the left or the right click, and then you can do three fingered salute is there. It's a Mac, there isn't really a three fingered salute, but you can command they've got shortcuts for like command tab and trying to think. Oh, they also have the ability to hold down keys, which, you know how you have to do like control Z, control V a whole bunch?
Mm-hmm.
They have sort of a hot bar. If you go here, go into the actual keyboard. In the keyboard, you've got shift, control. Oh, sorry.
There you go.
Control, shift, alt, command. It's a Mac, so command, and then all of the F keys. So it really does emulate the full sort of desktop experience on your phone. It's not as great with a phone, but it's a great for tablet.
That is rad. LogMeIn Ignition.
Mm-hmm. Just in case anyone's curious, popcorn jelly beans are awful.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, yeah.
They're
great to give to your friends.
Yeah. And then you just sit there and go, ooh, and you have an ugly face. All right. I'm going to go for the nostalgia this week. And one of my favorite movies growing up was War Games, starring Matthew Broderick and Ally Sheedy and Dabney Coleman. And anyways, there is a app called War Games that I found. It's 99 cents. And essentially...
That's awesome.
Here's what it is. Shall we play a game?
Yes.
Continue.
Oh.
It's a very simple game.
This so can't we get be to legal. Talk.
It says it's the official licensed War Games mobile game on the page here from B-Rad Entertainment. Professor Falcon, so we're just talking. This is total nostalgia. The game itself is pretty simple, and it's almost kind of like Bejeweled. Basically, you play as the computer against... They'll give you a different person to try and defeat each time. And what you do is you just kind of connect it a la Bejeweled. But I'll show you how it works. Let's start this. And you have to... that's money. You have money. You have health. You have radar, and then you have bombs, so you can attack enemy like that. And then later, you have these bombs that count down, and if you don't get to that bomb and connect with other bombs in however many seconds they give you, it's going to come and attack you. So, you got to do that. You got to just kind of just do three or four at a time. It gets a little scary, so okay, here we go. Done. You're going down, Professor Falcon.
Uh-oh.
And so now I'm going to have to try and get those... together somehow. Oh, yes, I know. Health, I get it. Yes, health is green. Okay, oh, I've got 4 seconds to... hurry! Oh, this instruction. I hate the instruction. Okay, here we go. Bomb. Boom! And you just, you know, you go level to level. Oh, I hate
that's so
that.
Cool.
This is the beginning, so I went all the way back to the beginning. And you have things like tactics to buy you more missiles or other kinds of items to help you with your gameplay. I'm going to move on. But essentially, again, I was like, oh, it's like Bejeweled. And you just attack. And then you see later Matthew Broderick's character, Ally Sheedy's character, and you just keep going and going and going until you win.
Can I tell you, talk about right movie at the right time. No other movie backed my desire to sit in front of my computer and be a nerd than watching this, because I was like watching this movie. I'm like, oh cool, he's got a modem where you put the phone on.
Yes.
I've got one of those.
Yes,
it was so cool. Like when you were a kid in the mid 80s, it was so cool to watch this movie.
Yeah, no, it was
and
such
this,
a good
movie.
I agree.
This totally breaks down, you know,
totally.
Technology and like, oh, you can buy more RAM to help you.
That's awesome.
Move up and get more.
Add 48K of RAM.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly that. Ooh, I got gold on this. And then you continue, and then it's just basically the same thing. I'm actually stuck at a very low level, and I can't beat Matthew Broderick right now, and I'm really pissed.
So, well, I mean, Matthew Broderick is a pretty smart kid.
He's a pretty smart kid, yeah. So, yeah, I'm trying to beat him right now. But that
he can give
nutshell,
you A's if you want. He can give you all
he could.
A's.
He can give me... Ooh, yeah, he could give me any A's, right? anyway, that is War Games, and it's 99 cents in the App Store, and it works for lots of devices now, and it's really fun. So,
radical!
Enjoy.
All right, let's see here. Four fantastic apps. One of them was kind of a demo fail, but
no, you
there was a
it.
Little
you
bit of recovery there.
A lot of redemption.
I just feel bad for the developers because I really wanted that to go a lot smoother than it did. And it was my fault. It wasn't theirs. So Tapestry, PicFrame, LogMeIn, Ignition, and War Games. All of these can be voted on if you go to bit.ly/66AAApoll. bit.ly/66AAApoll and tell us what you think is your favorite app of the week of those four. That is kind of it.
Dude, we rushed.
Woof.
Sorry,
man.
You're late.
Everyone breathe.
Yeah. I know.
It was a crazy day.
Woo. It was a little stressful there.
A little Independence Day Eve show.
That's right. But it should be reiterated. We are at a new day and time. Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, same time, but just different day. So every Tuesday is when you'll see the episode, or you can catch it live at 5 p.m. if you would like.
And we can look forward to more breaking news now that we're in a midweek.
I guess so.
Let's play that
things
again.
Things are going to happen. You never
push
know.
Push the button.
You never know. It might happen, right?
Yeah. Breaking news. There
I
will be more
jelly
breaking
beans.
News.
No.
So Jason Applebaum, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me and my lovely speaker doc.
Absolutely. Go ahead and plug away on whatever you'd like.
So, hit me up on Google+, Twitter, @Applebaum, Jason Applebaum on Google+. But more importantly, gear4.com/Android. It's where you can find out all the cool stuff that's happening with the Alarm.Connect. And I hope to bring it back when we have a pretty box, and we'll do an unboxing and everything. And
cool.
I think it's cool to unbox my own product. I love the idea.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a good
that
feeling,
sounds great.
Right?
It is.
Cool.
After all the work that you've done on that, especially. Right on. Well, it's looking great. Thank you.
Cool.
Ron, go for it.
Yes, just go to about.me/RonXO, and you find links to all my stuff.
All right. And
Eileen. Me too. About.me/EileenRose.
I'm going to add links to your stuff on my page as well. So
okay,
you can,
good.
You can
thank
say
you
me too.
So
yeah.
Much.
And I'm about.me/JasonHowell. Thank you so much for tuning in. That's it for this week. Leave us a voicemail if you like. 347-SHOW-AAA. You can send us an email or a video mail with a link in an email to AAA@twit.tv. Find the show on Twitter @AndroidShow. Show notes can be found at twit.tv/AAA. I'm actually going to put a copy of our show notes going forward at the links at the bottom of the show notes that we actually use in the show, so you'll get all of the links instead of just partial. And you can catch us live every Tuesday starting at 5 p.m. Pacific at live.twit.tv. That's it for this week, folks. We'll see you next week for another episode of All About Android.
Boom.
Wicca, 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 wicca.